in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We had a Mitsubishi Lancer. One morning, woke up after heated night vigil, and the crankshaft broke inside the car. So we bought a new crankshaft, put inside the engine. Another morning after a heated prayer, the crankshaft broke. That was when Chief Don said he had a dream that there was a satanic engineer that was working on my... I didn't know demons were also knowledgeable in... We crankshaft. So we towed the car to the mechanic, and when I said, what's the fate of this car? He said, we have to put Toyota Corolla engine. So we put Corolla engine. But it still had shining Mitsubishi Lancer. But the difference is going to be the performance. It will not perform like Mitsubishi to perform like a Corolla. Now, so if the Lancer people see the car skidding, say, no, this is not how we planned it. Alright? Because of what was put inside. I know if we trace your ancestors, native doctors at some point, but Christ was put inside of you. So performance is... you might still see Lancer. They will still think you are still from that family. But performance-wise... Performance. If your life can defy the limitations of that family, it means based on performance rating. This is not supposed to be so. All right. Now this is the testimony of Paul. He said, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face to all the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. They didn't know me by face, so I decided to just find expression in their midst and chill out. It's better not to know me after that order. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Now, I'm not sure that his identity was known at this point. Performance. What was his record before? He persecuted the church. But something was introduced. And they saw... He so conformed to the power and the essence and the reality of that which he received. That! With that which he received was visible. They glorified not him. They glorified God displayed in him. Which means God was on display. Paul was a theater where God displayed things. Hallelujah. Let me whisper now. Let me whisper. We need to cry after what I want to say. EFCC invaded my office. I thought the Rashids will be the ones that will be arrested. I thought it's the Ismail that would have been arrested. Elders and deacons were the ones arrested. There's a question with that performance. The performance is questionable. It means that's the Mitsubishi, that's crankshaft matter. Now, do you know how much Jesus has been misrepresented today? I hope you understand that the time of discontentment in Islamic religion has never ever been like now. Most Muslims, when they deviate from Islam, most of them become atheists. They say, we are godless. Why? Because Christianity has not presented an alternative that is suitable. It means that this performance rating is questionable. God can no longer be seen in the theater of men's lives. It means that the average Christian doesn't function under the government of God. He is operating in lawlessness. The lawlessness of the fall that is trapped in his soul is still his operating system today. When you hear what bothers a Christian, you begin to wonder. I have never, ever, ever, maybe been in a situation I felt so that God had failed me, and then it's my message. I'm taking it around. How will we survive? It means if you were in the days of the apostles where men had to die for the gospel to be passed on, you will fail. That's why you were not born that time. Your own is only poverty. There's a challenge with the performance. The performance rating is negative. There's no proof that an engine is inside there. But for Paul, the head of his exploits, and he humbly mingled among the brethren. And what was burning in his life was so evident that they glorified God in me. It was as if Paul was saying, they now knew God's address. God's address was my life, because he was alive in me with raging force, with raging fire. They saw him. Where? In me. So we are supposed to be the carriers of God, the theater of God's displays. And if that window shuts down, it means our generation has no hope. Elders, I don't want to mention, of Pentecostal churches, they are tongue talkers. Most of them called me from detention in the night to seek for prayers. We had to bow our heads in shame, because I went before God just asking for mercy, that we have failed you, all of us. We failed you. One of them knew he was going to be picked by EFCC, so he came to me and said, how are we going to do this thing? I said, go all the things you bought with that money, go to the motherless baby's home and widows. The ones for widows, give widows. The ones for motherless, give them. The ones you have eaten, repent, and then come back. Then we'll start from there. She did, though. She did that. Why did I add that one? Okay, that one is a she. Then we now prayed, and then God now had mercy. How would he have looked like if her name appeared and her face appeared on the papers? They have known us in the office. When we went for a course in Calabar, and the guy said, you know, they sent some of your boys to London to look at some oil documents to sign, and the white man knows how you guys are. Brought some women like Coke bottle, and they signed the thing without reading it. And all of you. And he will preach. And I noticed he was preaching. So I had to confront him, as if I'm also asking a question too. So we began to preach in the class, and we had to subdue him. What we're saying was that you can't preach here. Look for another platform. This place is defended enough. So he stopped preaching, because he's an atheist. He doesn't believe God. So, but he's very intelligent. He attended this University of Surrey. He's from there. He's a doctor. So he analyzed our petroleum sector. Hey, insulted us, and then began to preach. So we had to restrain. It was me and that sister that restrained him, until he didn't have a platform there again. Just teach your course and go. We sent him out of preaching. We cut him off. They know us. So how will it look like if her name had leaked? It's the crankshaft matter. And you know what? If one of us is caught, it means all of us have crankshaft problem. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
May the consciousness of what you represent down on you. May it down. Some of you, you can't suffer hunger and be consistent. Some of us, you need to pray for us to eat. If your own challenge is hunger, catch, we don't even, we see the food, we can't eat it. You hunger, you change your mind. When you get back home, ask yourself, if I had a million, what would I have used it for? Because 70% of you don't have a need for a million. So when a preacher prophesies, you will break through next week. What do you need that prayer? No. All right, okay. You don't want to hear. Most of you don't have need for it. He said, what does it matter to you that that man is like that? You! Follow me. Follow me. You remember when we started here? We had no toilet. You see, okay, we have relaxed so much that you don't remember those days again. No toilet. That means when you are coming here, don't eat. Oh. Come dry. When we are coming, come with two handkerchiefs or three because this place is hot. The design was that they will use AC. If not, would have made it higher. And then put those cave windows for cross ventilation. Alright? So we designed it like this because we wanted to put AC. So before the AC came, this place was really hot. So hot that I almost got paralyzed with this light. It would dry this side of my body. I didn't know that it was paralysis that was coming until I had a pain that no drug could cure. The doctor said, young man, you need, what they call that bed? Orthopedic. Go lie on it for 6 months. So I had to buy it. That was when my transfer came. So my transfer was healing therapy. I just stayed. And the thing, it was heat in the hall. Today, we have AC. And it's very easy for you to forget where we are coming from. Do you know how the AC came? It came because we followed. You know how the toilet came? It came because what? If you keep following, things will keep changing and coming. But the man that doesn't follow doesn't have a heritage. Most of you are like this because you refuse to follow. Let me tell you the truth. There were times we didn't have shoes. Today we change shoes, eh? Pastor Gideon had a shoe that when he finished wearing and he kept it one day and he saw what he had been wearing, there was need for him to have mercy on himself, to pity him. But this one that he's wearing now, he came because what? He followed. Now, don't call this one a blessing. This is the result of following. Prosperity is the result of followership. The result of obedience. It's not a message. The result of compliance. Where they preach it, are the people prospering? Let's say the truth. They have been preaching. People are just in basking in false sense of security. Jesus is not a money doubler. Not a God that gives men false hope. When you follow, the things will begin to come. I never knew that. You are not with me. In, river, what, the bridge, North Bank Bridge, I know the spot where I stood. When my uncle sent me to school with 400 naira. The transport is 300. I got to that. That was where the luxurious bus dropped. I took luxurious in the night just to save transport cost. Where they dropped me was in the middle of that bridge that my cousin man, you dropped. And I was sleeping then. Sleeping for sorrow. Not the deep sleep. The kind of sleep that is induced by uncertainty. Oy. So the conductor slapped me on the head. Ah! My cousin don't reach. That was where they dropped me. That was where I vowed to God, I will not cross that bridge in search of money again. Whoever could tell that I will park a jeep on that spot a few years from that time. It is followership that brought it. Some people stole money to buy jeep. I followed Jesus, jeep came to me. I never did dry fasting to get a wife. I was praying and God told me that you have reached where me, I will give you a wife. She came by that decree. Follow. I follow. You are there on the mountain. Hey, Baba! You will be there for some time. How many of you have seen that caption? That caption of that meeting. Now like this we go there. Have you seen it? Now like this we go there. Who tied this goat? Have you seen that one? Who tied this goat? You see, we have exalted the devil because we have not followed. So other magical matters have attracted us, and we have caved in into the mode of darkness. I follow Jesus. A man that is following Jesus with conviction, that man will not fail. I'm young and now I'm old. That's what David said. It's not possible. The earth, Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto cannot accommodate a man that follows God righteously and find him beg bread. Those two things are not, they are not compatible. Yes, are there times where I had only one trouser? One black? Yeah. But I was following. And I kept following. I told you by permutation, if you have not prayed for 10 years, you don't know the power of prayer. If you have not served God sacrificially for 10 years, you don't even know the power of sacrifice. Anything you have not done for 10 years, don't boast that you did it. It means you don't have a conviction. It's not a lifestyle. If you give for 5 years, give for 7 years, you stop giving to receive. Giving will become a lifestyle. And don't start giving. It is contagious. It will possess your soul. That you will need to be cautioned not to give to people afflicted. And that's how God just does all kinds of stuff. Who are you following? Don't lie and say, hey, my own, the demon, he carried the beer. Now, you see, in scripture doesn't shed light on the demonic mercenaries that encounter us. It's not really very, very important. The thing is following. We were going to pray in Jesus' calling many years ago. And when we passed the gate, we now greeted the old Baba at the gate. I have been the gate man there for like 20 years. So we now hear the sound. So we now say, Baba, we spoke in Idoma. What sound is he say? Brina. That. That right here, he has been battling with Satan for years. When you hear them say those things, don't believe them. One guy say in his dream he saw Satan carry the fork. What have you done for the kingdom that Satan is looking for you? You have not done. Follow Jesus. Don't forget. Follow. Somebody say, hey, my own is lost. Just keep following. The thing, it will leave you. We have all been held neck long with lust before. But we say, before you kill us, we'll be lying with Jesus on. That's why you will kill us. We followed. When I proposed to my wife, you will not buy me for 5 naira. The way I was, like an HIV victim. I nobody else. It was a risk you took. It was a risk. What moved you to? When I bought her car, I said, speed, you won't die. No accident. Because what? You follow. Who are you following? Why are you following? Oh, may the Lord give us understanding. Amen. You may be seated. Let's take the second dose. Where's my... Why are you following? They called us names. They say we are Jews. I remember my friend, we were praying together in Technica. The place is very dark. So it's a long haul. You pray in tongues and go down and come back. When I went down the third time to come back, the guy had escaped. He had escaped in the darkness. He took off. Today he's a pastor now. He now said, Kai, he made a mistake running that day because he ran like that for the next 5 years. Today he's a pastor. He came, him and his wife, and they came and submitted to me. We're classmates, but we were going, following, and then he said, Kai, there's something more smart than followership. So he took off for 5 years. Now he has ended up where I am. He discovered that he's not skilled. Don't waste your life.
Don't waste your life.
There are many people in town calling themselves Christians that are just wasting. Because if you decide to be 419 with God, He will be 419 with you. He will help you waste your time. Help you waste your life. When you are now old, you will not be speaking in parables. May we do away with crankshaft issues and Mitsubishi engine. Let the Corolla engine sit and find expression. There's a performance that is expected. That performance is not based on your inadequacies. It has its own support system to make it perform. You just align. Align your heart. Be willing to go through the rigor. And the output has already been judged. They glorified God in me. Jesus went so close to defining what it meant to be born again, but he decided to give us an illustration. In the book of John chapter 3, he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou knowest not where it cometh or whither it goeth. So is he that is born of the Spirit." That illustration he gave was not of a new convert, someone that has exercised the potential of grace that he has received in God on the account of his regeneration. And he has come to a point where he has realized that the Holy Spirit is superior to him, so he allows the Holy Spirit to lead him. And the Bible says that he is like a wind. He is pliable in the hands of God. So the scripture our brother just read, "To them that receive him, unto them he gave power to be called the sons of God," to become. It's a potential they received. In John chapter 3, he's telling us the output of that potential. When it is fully realized, you are pliable in the hands of God. Because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit. That is the proof that you have gained age in grace. That is the proof that you have become the result of what Jesus prayed for and paid for. So that you can be led by the Spirit. That is what he illustrated in the book of John chapter 3. He said they are like the wind. Hallelujah. And men will not be able to predict you because you are operating on an economy that is superior to the wildest imagination of the thoughts of man. You evolve out of a civilization breaking forth from the belly of the Holy Ghost. Your life cannot be defined by space and time. In the same location that you dwell, men are haunted by demons and marginalized, stepped upon and graded. But under the same circumstances, you float above the status quo. It is not because you are a better man, you are better educated. It is because there is something inside that you are subscribed to, and that is the reason behind your development and your civilization. Hallelujah. There is an expectation if actually we have the privilege of being partakers of his life. Turn with me quickly to the book of Galatians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Captain, I salute. Amen. I know you when I said you will preach here, if you had your way, you would have told me that. But I just want to say you will be preaching plenty now. Hallelujah. Please make him welcome. That's Captain Sunday Atomodi. One of the gallant mercenaries that the kingdom of God has slaughtered into the Nigerian army for many more reasons than holding the gun or performing humanitarian services. Mighty grace of God upon his life. And we have followed his progression in the things of the Lord. And he is an invaluable tool in the Nigerian army. Once again, make him welcome Sunday at Tomodi, the captain in the Nigerian army. Hallelujah. Now, we have a long way to go this weekend as we sit around the bonfires of the Holy Spirit to receive both warmth and refreshing from him. There is a testimony that I want to bring to us from the Word of God. And this testimony is in form of a parable. The second loaf of bread. It's a parable. But yet a testimony. You will notice that when Elijah was trying to shut down ministry, and he decided to retire under a juniper tree. A juniper tree is like a palm tree. It's actually a broom tree, desert broom tree. A desert broom is longer than our normal broom. It's very long because desert plants, you know, when they shed leaves, so you need a very long broom. So that's the tree that is used to make the desert broom. All right? Are you with me? The closest relative to that tree is palm tree. And this guy was running away from destiny. He was shutting down ministry. He had made a significant statement that I will invoke shortly. And he decided to retire under a broom tree, a palm tree. Now, if that guy was looking for shade, there were other trees that would have been recommended. But it was not about the shade. It was about the place. The secret of the prophet Elijah. You know, he came almost out of nowhere. The name of his village and his ancestry was never recalled. He was like a colossus. Elijah the Tishbite, he was called. There's no village of Tishbe. Tishbite means messenger. Elijah was known largely by his message, not by his village. He was a prophet that came out of a civilization that was not controlled by anything in the nation of Israel at such a time. He came from a different reference point, and he brought a message that shook the foundation of the civilization among the people to his very core. Unfortunately, after his gallantry, I don't know what came over him. Well, Jezebel must have gone to do a lot of things in darkness. And suddenly, the man of God was overwhelmed. He was a fighter. He was so gallant. And in the grace of God, he was beautiful. Brought an entire nation to his knees. I was expecting him to set up his hidden school of the prophets that he did in caves. I was expecting him to import it to town and train the entire nation in the ways and the secrets of God. But that was when, by an act of an assault from the witchcraft world, the great prophet made a statement and he was shutting down ministry. The day of his life was the day of his death. And Elijah came under that tree and he cried unto God. He said, I am not better than my fathers. What? God did not respond. And suddenly we see God dispatching angels to him with bread for him to eat. When I thought about the 12 civilizations of heaven, 12 things that make heaven, heaven, the first of which I thought was food, that in heaven there is food, that God is food. Some of you were there in the teaching, and we showed it from the Bible, how that God eats food. Because God came to Abraham's house, God ate food, human food, in the book of Genesis chapter 18. And then in the book of Exodus chapter 24, God invited the elders of Israel and Moses. They went up the mountaintop. That was the first time that God allowed himself to be seen in his structure. The Bible says his feet was like sapphire stone. Let's leave that. We'll talk about that some other time, all right? Those precious stones, we'll talk about that some other time. So God invited them, and the Bible said they ate. This time it was God that provided the food, because we're not told that Moses went there with Kose and feeding bottle. So God provided the food. So those guys ate. God ate man's food and invited man, and man ate his own food. And you remember when Jesus was raised from the dead, with his glorified body, he ate fish. So your glorified body can accommodate eating. And the bread that Elijah ate was angel's bread, according to the book of Psalms 105. I'm just giving you a recap so that you know what he ate. It's not from earth. The bread was baked in heaven and then transported down here, and a human being ate it. And the effect of that eating was that he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Are you with me? Okay. So we did that teaching, the 12 pillars of the civilization of heaven. You don't need to die and go to heaven before you eat that bread. You can eat it here on earth because Elijah ate it on earth. But you see, the effect of what he ate took him for 40 days and 40 nights. He walked and he was not tired. Is that true? Okay, let me not digress. I have a burden in my heart, a parable. Let's leave that. Now, so he ate God's food. And in order for you to be able to sustain your Christian life, you need to eat some stuff. And that's by the way anyway. And Elijah said, I am not better than my fathers. He was given 2 doses of bread before he could march to Horeb, Mount of God. And so it's possible for you to eat 1 dose. You will not quite get to Horeb. You need 2 doses to get there. So I want to say a parable of the second dose of bread. Hallelujah. In the revival that began in Jerusalem, how many of you have studied your Bible very well? I'm not studying from afar. Not studying from near. Because you can study from near. You see what chapter 1 is saying, what chapter 2 is saying. You see that the emphasis of the entire chapter 2 is in verse. This and this, that's studying from near. Sometimes we need to study from afar and understand what the entire book is all about. The major characters and actors of the book. You must understand the specific message of each book. For many years, I started studying from afar. Having studied from near, for long, I decided to study from far so that I can capture the overview of the entire book and then be accurate from near and far. Because some people can deceive you if you don't have those binocular kind of vision. Hallelujah. And this is a day of light. We can only survive by light, because even the devil himself is transformed to an angel of light and he teaches doctrines formulated in the laboratory of demons. And so we need that kind of binocular vision to be able to sustain accuracy, sustain precision, sustain balance. Because at times when there are great awakenings of God, there are also times, the same times, where there are great counterfeitings of God. And so we need discernment as the working document of a revival season. And so I decided to study from afar. Then I found that I began to see the real actors. I began to see the real concept, the real perspective. There are 2 revivals captured in the book of Acts of the Apostles. 2 revivals. Not 1, but 2. There are 2 actors in the book of Acts of the Apostles. First actor is called Peter. Second actor is called Paul. There are 2 measures that find expression. The first measure was the one that was captured by Peter. It was a very powerful measure. Notice that... are you with me? Okay. It was Peter that Jesus said, I give unto you. He received the keys of the kingdom on the behalf of the church. Alright? He received the keys of the... We operate those keys now, but Peter received the keys on our behalf. We have authority to operate them, but he received them. And he was the one that opened the door of the kingdom to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. He opened the door of the kingdom to the Gentiles in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius. Now, so that guy, in my own opinion, had a dual kind of ministry. He was supposed to reach both Jew and Gentile. And he opened the doors. Hallelujah. But it came to pass when God was trying to take him through the rudiments, what he does to apostles, to take them to higher levels of grace and higher levels of responsibility. What he does to them, he did to him in the upper room when he went to pray. And you know what happened when that vision came? He saw that stuff lowered out of heaven and he was given an instruction, kill and eat. He was actually being shown the scope of Gentile apostolic ministry. And you know he said, not so. Not so. Not so, Lord. He knew he was the Lord, but he said, not so. His wiring could not take it. His wiring could not accommodate it. I know God is such a gentle personality. He said, all right, I will keep you within the confines of what your wiring can handle. Eventually, Peter became the apostle sent to the Jews. It was not God's intention, but he became that. And God had to look for
another person that will become the apostle to the Gentiles. And so there was a need for another wave. Now, because if the wave that affected Peter, that brought him to that point, affects Paul, Paul will truncate at the same point. And I was wondering, when God was looking for the apostle that will reach the Gentiles, he didn't go to the Gentiles. He now took a staunch Jew that was the student of the best scholar, the last surviving ancient scholar. So, okay. Among Peter and Paul, who should have been truncated on those bases? It was Paul. He had the insight into the law to truncate him. But this was the testimony of Paul. It was Paul that received the second dose of bread and took the move of God to his crucible, to his zenith, to his flashpoint. Can we read his testimony? No. Okay. Hold on. Don't worry. It's a long story. We'll start. I'll just introduce it. We'll stop. We'll go and sleep first. Tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll begin something there. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so what is happening to our generation is that God has brought the second dose. And if you have studied the prophecies of Elton, you will see the scope, you see the commitment of God that he has concerning the church in Nigeria and where he intends to take the church to, what he intends to use the church for. What did you call that thing again? Is it end point or end state? Okay, there's an end state on the heart of God for raising the church in Nigeria. There's an end state on the heart of God for crafting us like this naturally and crafting us the way we are spiritually, our capacity, our ordination, our texture, our technology, our wiring is in line with God's what? End state. Okay. And if it happens to be that God's end state is not achieved, the momentum doesn't rise enough to sufficiently achieve that end state. God has a lot of resources. He orchestrates another outpouring. He establishes a pump station. You see, in pipeline technology, when you want to pump petroleum products from Port Harcourt to Makurdi, there is a depot at Aba. The closest depot to the Port Harcourt depot is Aba depot. So they route the product into a pump station. The pump station captures it and then gives it momentum. The momentum it uses to drive the product takes it to the next pump station. It captures it again. It drives it. So there are pump stations all across the pipelines that pushes it. And if you are there, when it comes into the tanks in Makurdi here, it comes violently because the pump stations have given it momentum. So if a move of God reaches a point which is not the what? End state, a pump station must capture it to give it momentum. But you see, in God's economy, there's no pump station. So what he does is that he releases another move. Now, whereas other people will truncate in that first move, he has moved on. So in every generation, you will see two doses of bread. But not everybody takes the second one. There is a transition that is going on in the body of Christ and the move of God. And God is making available the next dose so that we can accomplish the full scope of the mission. This is Paul's testimony. Galatians chapter 1. Because when we study the life of Paul, the encounters of Paul. Are you with me? Please stay with me. Stay with me. When we study the life of Paul, study the encounters of Paul, study the way God dealt with Paul, we can be sure that that is the dealing that is attributed to the measure that Paul received. So Paul becomes the guinea pig, the theater, from whence we can articulate the influence, the operation of that second measure. Alright? If we study the life of Peter, you will see the depth, the characteristics of the first measure and what it did to his life. There is no way you can walk with God and God puts an anointing upon your life that doesn't shape your life. The anointing will shape you. Oh my God. In fact, it will attract demons to you. Oh my God. Puts you into a context, puts you into a perspective. Cause problem for you.
Enemies will rise up against you just because of that anointing. It's a context. It's not because you are cursed. It's not because there's an altar in the village that have been invoked upon which your name was called. No, it's the anointing. The anointing must create a context. A context that will initiate a dealing. A dealing that will sustain the protocol of the anointing on your life. If you are allowed to go to Sun City and to be large on, you know, we sent somebody, the union, paid money, gave somebody air ticket to go to Abuja and fight for us in Congress. The guy went to Nikonoga and spread his legs upon the bed and asked somebody to snap him and his girlfriend. And he wrote on Facebook, living the life, living the life. If we send you to Sun City and send you down there, you begin to live the life. So there is a context that God will... Union money! And he did what? We just arrived. Now we are living the life. We've been wandering for long, but right now, we have switched on. Hallelujah. So he won't want you to live the life. So he puts you in a context. He will gather troubles for you, gather circumstances. Circumstances that will make you lose confidence in yourself and make you gain confidence in him. Now, so let's look at the life of Paul. We are going to see the indicators of that second measure. Then I can now begin to bring my, everything I will speak will be in parable. A wise man can interpret it. But a Christian, to a Christian, it will be a good sermon. Galatians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I have 15 more minutes to go, so let's just... I can't do a lot of reading. I would have loved to begin from verse 1 and to journey all the way down, but you have to pardon me tonight because of the time to... read from a place that is not technically accepted so that we can use the time that we have. Alright. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Indicative of the fact that it was another deliberate initiative from God's kingdom by reason of articulated policy that this move of God was released in order for this man to be entrapped with a successive and a progressive pathway of revelatory encounters. Are you with me? This was not the first move. It was something different from what? The first move. So he was not discipled by recipients of the first move. Are you with me? He was not instructed by anybody from the first house. He was a hooligan that felt he was serving God by wasting the church. And on his way to Damascus, he meets Jesus face to face. And great Jesus, the great monarch of Zion, now says to him, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he added a parable there, that it is hard for you to kick against the barbed wire. That if we use the word pricks there, you'll not know the meaning. It's barbed wire. Or thorns. It's hard for you to kick against the thorns. Why did Jesus make that statement? Jesus is saying that this movement you are seeing was orchestrated in the studio in eternity. It was preordained and predestinated. It's an act, a revelation of an act of God's sovereignty and divine authority. These ones were chosen in eternity to bear witness of Christ in time. It is hard for you to kick against the barbed wire. If you want to stop something that began in eternity, you want to stop it in time, it is impossible for you to do that. It's just like kicking against what? The barbed wire. You know, Boko Haram came in the middle of the show. We have already encountered God and something began to brew in our lives, and suddenly Boko Haram comes to discomfit us. It's hard for you to kick against the barbed wire, because when you kill one, the anointing rests upon another one. When you kill another one, the anointing multiplies and it comes upon a damsel. Jesus, it's hard. Hallelujah. You see, I love the words of the master. He added a parable. It's hard. And in that same encounter, Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" That was what attracted Jesus. Because Jesus had appeared to many people before that time, and none of them desired to know him. This one started his walk by asking, "Who are you?" "It is because I don't know you that I'm doing this thing. If you can reveal yourself, maybe I might behave better." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That was where he got into the contract with Jesus. Subsequently, he began to give us the testimony of his encounter with God and the ripple effect that encounter produced. Notice that Ananias that prayed for him to receive his sight. In that particular scripture of the action, Ananias did not speak much. But when Paul told the story some other time, he gave us details as to what Ananias actually said. He said, "Brother Saul," before he prayed for him, he said, "The Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus, he sent me. He sent me to pray for you that you might receive your sight." He gave him insight. He said, "You will see the righteous one." He said, "One of the privileges you are going to enjoy in this your mission is revelatory access. You will see the righteous one and you will hear words from his mouth." What is the difference between the ministry of William Branham and Kenneth Hagin? They were both prophets. Hallelujah. You are not with me. They were prophets. They could prophesy. And there were major prophets at that. But the difference between Branham and Hagin is that Branham receives revelation through encounters with angels. And Hagin encounters the Lord himself. And that is why Hagin was the most balanced preacher in his era. You cannot be accurate in the dispensing of truth if you have not having encounters with God to the point of hearing words from his mouth. Words from what? It is the same teaching ministry that Branham wanted to venture into without having clear-cut insight from God directly. That was the cause of his demise. The same teaching ministry that Hagin handled with so much balance that it will be, you will need to be a lawless man to quote Hagin and do lawlessness. Because his encounters were so balanced. He's the one that told us how the regenerated human spirit, the capacity of that spirit, and how to keep it aglow. Through encounters he had with Jesus. It was not angels he was seeing. He was seeing the Lord. He said, "Brother Paul, yours is a bogus destiny, laden with diverse privileges and compliments. For you will be granted access to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth." Hallelujah. Are you still with me? To hear what? It means that God has been mute looking for a man that can handle words. Found none. In the midst of that mighty revival. A mighty revival that could quicken people by a man's shadow. Make them whole. But yet, the Lord had words. He had words that he could not dispense. He had words he could not reveal. Because he had weighed the carriers and the pillars of that first move. And he had found something wanting. And he was seeking a man. And it was the great Apostle Paul that he gave the privilege of words. That's why he wrote 2/3 of what? Of the New Testament.
So when we see the New Testament and see Paul's writing, those are the impacts and the implications of words. Now we'll go into all of that subsequently. Are you still with me? I'm just trying to establish that this move is original. This move is homegrown. This move was initiated by a sovereign act of God. God doesn't show up. Jesus doesn't appear too frequently. But Jesus had to appear. He didn't send an angel. And he accosted the man. Notice that after he received his sight, stayed a little in Damascus, was given the basic orientation of prayer. From that point, we see this guy going to Arabia for 3 years. Now, tomorrow, if God helps us, maybe in the evening, we'll see the revelations is captured from the wilderness of Arabia. It took him 17 years of intercession to have utterance to say them. Now, are you with me? Alright, so let's go back. Quickly. As I round up. About 5 more minutes. If you are still here, say amen. He said, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals. It was an icon in Judaism, in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now, this is still his testimony. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I all to Jerusalem, to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Jump to 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Stop there. We'll proceed from there subsequently. This was his story. The tale of the second dose of bread. There was something that I got from this scripture, from his testimony. Hallelujah. Can we look at it critically? The influence of this second measure on his life. Verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, why? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. So the purpose, what's that your word again? End state of his call was for Jesus to reveal himself to him. So there was a lot of revelation that this man had to receive in order for him to be a messenger of that move. Now, you know, he said he went to Jerusalem and he went and met Peter. It's in chapter 2 that he gives us insight about that he's going. Because he said he went up to Jerusalem by revelation. So this guy was a man that function that lives in the crucible of revealed things. It was as if I'm talking about real time existence. His real time existence is heavenly. Now you don't know, you may not know, if you're not an internet user, you don't know what I mean by real time. Now I and Gideon, we normally chat. He is in Jos, I'm in Lagos, and then we'll begin to chat. Because of the internet, we can connect to each other real time. But if you are using post, you write and take it to the post office, and then they post it. It gets lost. They take it to Abuja office, and then somebody will find it and then put it where it's supposed to be. Then it gets to you after like 21 days.
And then you reply. A lot of things have happened for those 21 days. That if he were communicating with you real time, he would have had to add it to the letter in order to update you. So you are not operating real time. So there are losses and there are gaps. Just like there are losses and gaps in people's revelation. It's not whole. It's not an outstretch. It's not a stretch. Because it's not real-time communication. The person comes into the field view for 5 days, for 10 days. He's burning, fasting, praying. Then he comes under the impression for the next 4 months. And then maybe he comes for Tibdon to counsel him. And maybe he's revived. Then he begins to pick himself up again. So there's a distorted... The school is not the guy on the register. He doesn't have attendance sufficient for him to move from that level. So he's still perambulating because he's not doing real-time work. But Paul was so revelatory that he was operating in the economy of heaven real-time. His network was live. He had transmission to and through heaven. That kind of a man is a spontaneous character. He moves spontaneously. He moves under the influence of God's leading. He understands God's seasons, God's promptings. And the Bible says that he went to Jerusalem by what? Now, this kind of revelation was not part of me. I need to also tell you that Peter was anointed. Tomorrow I'll show you the difference between Paul and Peter, which is the difference between the moves. And you will see that the people that ate the first loaf of bread and did not eat the second loaf of bread, they have a particular shape and description. People that ate the second loaf of bread, they are so few, and so Jesus is still giving out that second loaf now. Because he needs the body of Christ. There's a specific number for each territory he wants to come into that level of feeding, that level of dieting, because it's going to affect your taste buds, affect your desires, affect so many things, and some kind of meals will no longer appeal to you. It's a infirmity that comes upon you because you drank of the oil of a move. That's what it does. It makes you restless, just like Paul was. Whereas Peter was able to settle down. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, Peter begins to die out of reality. But Paul never settled down. There was a flame that seized that guy. The guy just kept moving from level to level. It was through his consistency. Through his consistency. And through his ministry, that God was able to download the purpose of the church. Purpose of the church. I will show you Peter's message. Don't worry. Be calm. Tomorrow we'll do Bible study. The purpose of the church. What God is building, what God was doing. This guy downloaded it. And he not just downloaded it by prophecy. He instructed the church in the light of it. So he was not just a prophet to receive revelation. He also had wisdom to dispense and to make the knowledge systematic enough for the basis of believers to be able to assimilate. There were some revelations he held in his spirit for 17 years for want of utterance. He was a spontaneous character. He is such a man that moves by revelation. That was the level of endowment that God had to give in establishing the foundation for the dispensing of the second move. That second move was going to bring his what? End state to pass. Because the first move could not accomplish. Listen to me. Let's do church history. Nigerian church history. Pa Elton said that the reason for which God, the covenant that God has with Nigeria is with the youth. That's what he said. It's on the strength of that the youth service actually came. And he prophesied about that before it came to pass. And most of us today, there were encounters we had during youth service. I'm not talking about people that became NCCF people. I'm talking about you went for youth service expecting to meet with God and you were not disappointed. How many of us have that experience? You went for youth service expecting... Hey, let's do it again. You went for youth service expecting to meet with God and you were not disappointed. It's because there's a portal of prophecy that has opened over that year. And anybody that comes into that year in proper heart alignment meets with the reality that powered that prophecy. Now, so he was able to articulate that the covenant that God has with our nation is with the youth. That's one. And that the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the nation Nigeria is so that he can fulfill his apostolic destiny, which is to bring the gospel of the kingdom to Africa and Europe. Now, if you look critically, you will see that our people from here have actually gone to Africa and Europe. I went to Malawi and I wanted to buy souvenir to bring to Nigeria. It was an Igbo woman that was selling it. That's 8 hours, 30 minutes flight time. Oh my. The guys reached there before I came. They have already invaded the place. But unfortunately, the gospel that they took there is a defective gospel. A gospel that another generation will have to come and undo. The gospel put the entire populace into a particular kind of bondage, a charismatic zoo, a vicious cycle. It's a gospel that did not come with illumination. It came with a lot of theatrics and a lot of charismatic excitement. But it was devoid of the establishment of kingdom, power, and glory. And that means we'll have to go back to all of those nations to undo the things that our brothers have done. Now, the bondage of corruption, like God never created any wild animal. It was the sons of God, through their mingling with the daughters of men, that flooded the earth with violence. And that was where wild animals came from. And that's where the bondage of corruption came from, according to the book of Genesis chapter 8 from verse 11. So it's the sons of God that created the problem. That's why the Bible says the sons of God will be the ones to solve the problem. So the war of the earth awaits another generation of the sons of God that will come and solve the problem that the initial sons of God created. If an angel is the one that created it, an angel will come and solve it. If it's God that locked the ark of Noah, only God can come and open it. He's the one that started the problem that will come and solve the problem. It's on the strength of that that prophecy survives. That another set of sons of God will have to come. It's Nigerians that went there and preached those things to them. Another set of Nigerians will have to rise to fulfill the actual spirit of that prophecy and bring a different line of colonialization in the spirit to all those nations that are held in bondage by the falsehood that we have transmitted. So the spirit has to come again upon another generation. Now this, the first thing that happened to Paul was that he was given the privilege of access and the privilege of revelation. Come. Privilege of what? Of access. And the privilege of what? Of revelation. Revelation makes you spontaneous. It makes you relate with heaven on real-time basis. Real-time realities. Real-time realities. You can say in your diary, in 1984, Jesus spoke to me, and these were his words. Real-time. I moved to Kaduna because I heard the Holy Ghost say, real-time. So this guy had become like one of those people that Jesus was trying to describe. See the wind blow it where it listed. Paul was an example of such a wind, a spontaneous man. I went up to Jerusalem by revelation. It was my destiny. The destiny for which I found myself in a womb in the first place. And when by the grace of God I was separated, I had only one thing to live for. And that thing that I was born to live for was to receive the revelations of the Son of God. He has to reveal himself in me. It was Paul that downloaded the ultimate revelation of the heart of God. The ultimate strategy that God had, for which he had deployed resources and deployed technology. It was Paul that said that the central gospel of the entire Bible is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He said that mystery was hidden for eons. It was hidden for ages until God could find a man that he could entrust with revelation. His was revelatory powers. And that is one, the first texture of the move of God at this time. There is grace for revelatory insight and access. And that grace is supposed to make you spontaneous. That's the purpose of that grace. Not to make you excited. You see, there are so many things that God has to tell us. So many things that God has to say to us. But God has a language. A language that he can compress the things for several courses into one encounter. Yes, you had to go for 4 years. Go to school for 4 years before you became what you became. I see wonder today what we're doing in the chemistry lab. wearing lab coat, carrying Jesus. That was not what I was separated from my mother's womb to do. But we labored there. Thank God we served God. And we knew it was a mission that God was sending us to perform on campus. So we carried on the lab coat issue as part-time business. And at the end of the day, we got a paper to testify about our presence for 4 years. Hallelujah. But you see, that was not why I was separated from my mother's womb. Through that certificate, I got a job with the government. And the job I'm doing with the government is not the reason for which I was separated from my mother's womb. But the job comes in handy. When we work and get money from there, we can now deploy it to what we were born to do from our mother's womb. So that's the only way that the job can be relevant. Any other way, the job is a snare. His priorities were well articulated. He was a being of revelation. Whereas Peter would say, "Not so, Lord." Paul say, "I went to Arabia." On the strength of the encounter he had, something was bubbling inside, and he needed 3 years of seclusion. He came out of Arabia like a walking cherubim, quoting things that were too difficult to understand. Peter, in his old age, spoke about Paul. He said, "A lot of carnal people have not been able to put Paul's writings into proper context. They have made shipwreck." He said, "That man has received so much revelation from God that even we in our old age, the things he said have been difficult to understand. Because when God wanted to download it to him, he said, 'Not so, Lord, not so, Lord.'" The first thing we have to deal with tonight is the spirit of "not so, Lord, not so." "Not so, Lord." Because I'm seeing a lot of people here that are so educated that they want to instruct the Holy Ghost. "Not so, not so, not so. Why did you choose me for this kind of suffering? My own is suffering. My own is suffering. My own is suffering. Not so, Lord." Jesus. And we were not told that God was offended. He was not offended. He didn't show it. He just said, "Okay, let's manage you on your own measure. May you not be managed." His was the blood of revelation. He became pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit. The last time the Holy Spirit said, "Oh, wake up and pray the night." You know how you said, "Not so, Lord. For I've been famished all day long. I've been..." But God found a man that was willing to die to his will, to align with the protocols of a yonder place. That man was Paul. Some of us read his writings and say, "What a man! What a vessel! What a vessel!" You know how he got there? He was pliable. Whenever the Holy Ghost touched down, he said, "I'm set. I'm set. Oh, how far do you want to jump this time? How far do you want to go this time?" God found a man that he could entrust with revelation. You saw a vision, just one vision. You caused trouble with it. You fought with it. People did not rest again because you saw something. Your action has received, is saying, "Not so, Lord, not so." But if you are giving more, you rent the whole state down. So you need to be kept on the shelf for a while to incubate. But Paul was ready. Paul was looking forward to the next time of encounter. He was a colossus. He was hooked to heaven real time. He was spontaneous in the hand of God. He said, "This is why I was separated from my mother's womb. Maybe I suffered poverty. I suffered setback or persecution. I suffered all kinds of stuff. But I know this is not why I was separated." So that doesn't constitute an issue. But the things that constitute an issue are the things for which he was separated from his mother's womb. Have you been able to come to that point of priority in your life? What really matters? I was in Enugu, and I received a text message. Empty, what do they call that vessel? Motor tanker, J.O. Rwanda, had come with 18,000 metric tons of petrol. And I was in Enugu. I was supposed to work on that vessel. I told them to pray for me that I'm about to lose my job. But when we finish this conference, then I lose the job later. Oh my God. And they prayed and we continued. And the hand of God came down. God was not on that vessel. God was in Enugu. He was in Enugu. And when I finished, you know what? DPR now went there and said, the last time you people came, we wanted to sanction you. You ran away. So nobody will work here again. They tied them down till I came back from Enugu. And I came back on Monday. The vengeance was intense. We didn't work on Monday. It was on Tuesday that they started. Not so long. There are so many things you'll miss when you say not so. I enjoyed myself in Enugu. Oh, Jesus. I told the man on the keyboard, play as if you want to die. Jesus. And the hand of God came down. Then I will call them. Are you guys, how is it going there? I said, Pastor. I said, okay. So it's good. But somebody will say, not so long. God will put you in a position where you need to make a choice. I hope you did not make the wrong one. Because if you have made the wrong one, you make do with only one dose. But Elijah needed two to get to Horeb, the mountain of God. He was spontaneous in the hand of God. He was the one that said, I know a man either in the flesh or in the spirit, I don't know. It's difficult to fathom in what state I was, whether I was liquid, whether I was solid, whether I was gas. I don't know in what state. Whether I was in the flesh, whether I was in the spirit. I was in one state, though. Very difficult to ascertain where I was. Whether I was a gas. But I beheld this man about 14 years ago. I know this man. And he was caught up to the heavens of God. How many times did Peter say he was caught up to heaven? Paul was given the window of revelation. God is saying a lot of you have been armed with a lot of revelation that you now related to in the flesh. And many windows have been closed to you. You are operating with a very measured ordination. From the encounters I had with God in Lagos, God is saying, I should come and teach people how to align with what has opened. So we need to do a very long one tomorrow. So that you see, some people are still up. Hey, the old bread is drying out. It's drying out so strong. But remember the reason for the covenant. Young people, we have to eat this bread. To take the gospel back to where our ancestors preached rubbish. To repair the altars of God that have been broken down. To bring covenants of nations back to life. And to prophesy, thus saith the Lord to them again. God is coming, but you see, the number of witnesses in territories are still insufficient. When Sodom and Gomorrah had insufficient witness, it was destroyed. What did you do with what he showed you? It became a basis of pride. You felt you were superior to other people, and then you were behaving, oh man. You know, I was just there, and God came. I remember a conference we went for, and a man came and said, 1986, somebody died in my neighborhood. And I stood up, I fell upon the man, and he revived. But he was telling of us 1986. That's not real time. That's not even an email. It's a courier. What is God saying today? He told us about 1986, the movement of God came down. People no longer have real-time experiences. As I sat among the captives of Israel, on the shores of River Kabar, that guy, Ezekiel, was a church boy. He was church-grown. He was temple-grown. He was a novice to iniquity. Then he became one of the captives in transit. He saw all kinds of promiscuity. He saw homosexuality. He saw bestiality. He saw in the midst of the darkness and perversion by Kabar. The Bible says what? His eyes were enlightened. See, the pollution around was nothing to worry about as long as he was connected real time. And I saw the visions of God. That was the most graphic revelation that was ever given to a man about the glory of God. He could handle the glory of God by that revelation. Real time. What is he saying today? Many of you think the one he said yesterday has expired, so you are looking for a new one. Meanwhile, there is no new level for you. Go and obey what he told you yesterday. We are not following Jesus. We are following an idea that is corrupted. I was not disobedient, he said, to the heavenly vision. This was a man that was being brought into the economy of heaven. He was being taken to heaven to see the civilization breaking out there and given the wisdom to implement same on it. He was not living from the textbooks of his tutelage under Gamaliel. There was an educational system that was breaking out. His heart was being enlarged to contemplate things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. That man was Paul. And his history was that he once persecuted the church. And then he lived to defend it. And he died for it. This measured Christianity that we have will not do. It will require something spontaneous. And you know what? God is available to be known. That's what I realize. He's available. It's available. Now, so we'll do the systematic study tomorrow. The first texture of this dose of bread is revelatory reorientation that brings you into real-time contact with breaking news from heaven and technology from the belly of the Holy Ghost. Real time. A man under this kind of covering operates spontaneously by reason of the inoculation that he had received. That guy was not a normal man. He was a spirit man. I'm going to rest my case here. But we need to pray. This is the time that we need to love the wine of the Holy Ghost more than the wine of Babylon. Because the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was used to contrast wine. The new wine. The wine that intoxicates not by its alcohol content. It takes you high because of its power. He said, just in case you need to run high, don't run on wine. Run on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is the time to love him. And do make conscious effort to be in contact with him. This man proved to me that you could be in contact with God 24 hours a day and be drawing from God's limitless bounty. Paul was able to do. If you think that we'll do anything less and fulfill what God wants us to do, we lie. He's looking for a yielded man. A man that is pliable. A man that is compliant. A man that can come up with fresh things from heaven. If you tour Lagos, you can have about 12, 13 ideas to implement your ministry. You can do window shopping. Go to Daystar, go to Lattering, go here, go there. By the time you come back, there'll be so many ideas. Say, change that cutting. Daystar's own is, you have become blinded by principalities and powers. Because what principalities do is that they blind your heart and your mind. You are a creature of time now. The Bible says that whatever Adam called the creature, that was the name thereof. The names existed before he peeped into heaven. And the names he gave were the names he saw in heaven. Real time. Real time technology. Real time. That's what he calls. Most often we receive the names of our children before they are born. Real time connection. It means they exist in God even before they came here. If you are trying to go to the market to make a list in the market of what you want to buy, you make it at home. Abi, the names will come before the children come. Because they exist with God. This is his name shall be this. For he shall save his people from their sins. Policy statements have been written about people. Kingdom mandates. We need real-time engineers, technocrats, that can bring parts of
many revelations and see that it is one whole. This is the revelation that has been hidden since the foundations of the world, but is revealed today unto his holy apostles and prophets, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the introduction in you that gives you hope of operating in the realm that God is domiciled. It's the basis of all your hope and expectation, your possibilities and your potential. That's where your Christian life will begin from. Understanding how to tap into the wellspring of Christ that is domiciled within you. We need to pray and ask God for mercy to help us to love the Holy Spirit. It happens to be that if you love yourself, he that loveth his life, he shall lose it. A man that loves himself more than the Holy Ghost will always lose what the Holy Ghost is bringing, because he will come when it's most inconvenient. He will come when you are fagged out and blow his whistle. It will take only a dead man, a radical, a madman to continue following. A madman. He said, "Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not." Our eyes are too blind. Our eyes are too blind. There are many of you that God began with you on a thunderous note, but we could not keep up with the pace. It means you only accepted a measured version of what God had to offer. He will wipe you out. He will look for somebody else. And actually, God is at the verge of wiping out the stars, most of us that are stars, until we imbibe the orientation of Paul. Don't be moved by maybe what the things you have been experiencing in the corridor. Peter's flow did not stop, but that was not a full measure. Don't be moved and say, okay, people are still getting healed. He gave you that one to settle you. You know, Abraham settled some of his children. Settled them. Say, you take gift, take word of knowledge. You take gift of healing, take. But my covenant is with Isaac. But take bread, take motor, take gift, word of knowledge. Go and call people's name and their phone number. And be doing that one. I settle you with that. But the covenant lies with Isaac. When I wake up, it's Isaac's name I will call. Isaac! That's the one I have covenant with. I settled you. Don't get so confused and say, something is still happening. When I touch people, they still fall. He has settled you. If you pray, that thing will still happen. But you see, you will never be taken to heaven. You will never see a secret that mortals have never seen before. In fact, he even came to a point that God showed this man things that human beings should not know. See, human beings shouldn't know this, so it's unlawful for you to talk about it, but you have, come and see. He says, so unspeakable things that is not lawful for man to utter. Why is the church so dry? When there are things that men should not even utter, that a man was given the privilege to see. When he was formulating doctrine, in the Corinthian church, he was formulating doctrine. They brought a question. And then his response to them was, in this your question, God did not speak to me. But I speak as a man that has received mercy of God to be trustworthy. At that point, Paul spoke his own opinion, and his opinion was accepted as a word of God. He said, God didn't talk. But me, I talk. My qualification is that I've received mercy from God. Meanwhile, when Moses added, Jesus came and edited it. See, it was not so in the beginning. But a human being came and said, I speak as a man that has received mercy from God to be trustworthy. Jesus. So Paul doesn't need to move in word of knowledge all the time. He can just say, the way you are going, you will not prosper. And that was the counsel of God. Hey! Ay 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 I don't want to be left behind, oh God. This was the reason for which I was separated from my mother's womb. I have no other business being around here. My secular job was not mentioned in heaven before I was born. I picked that one up here, just like Jesus sometime was a carpenter. That was not prophetic. It was not captured in prophecy. He just picked that tool up. And that cannot take the place of that which he was given a body to perform. The shape of men that will deliver the kingdom to our generation is spontaneity, spontaneous men under real-time connection with heaven's parliament. The place at which we are going as a generation is defective. Many of us will not get to Horeb, the mountain of God. Most times, my spiritual songs that I sing, what I'm singing in my heart is mercy. Mercy. Oh na 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 na. Real time connection to the parliament of heaven. Not the Pentecostal religion, not a charismatic civilization. I'm talking about real time connection to the fountain of life.
Follow him.
wants to visit our generation. There is another measure that we need to receive. Another impartation. Another reality of which we must taste. God has moved beyond dead religion. Charismatic activities lacking in life and power. It's our time as a generation. Let this opportunity not slip us by. Can we ask him for grace? Can we ask him for grace? Grace. 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 Man cannot do this. Because with man, it is impossible, but not with God. We have put our hands to the plow and we will not look back. There's no going back for us. Make sure you are calling on to him right now. That's why we were separated from our mother's womb. That's why we were called. The spontaneous ones must rise from among us. I went to Jerusalem by revelation. We call to you today. We ask for help. Our generation asks for help. Can we repent for every time the Holy Ghost came and we said, not so, not so, not so, not so, not so, Lord, not so, not so, not so. Opportunities missed. Privileges missed. Not so. Not so. Not so. Not so. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Friend, you need a second dose to make it to Horeb, to make it to the mountain of God. There is a measure of activity on your life, but there is an expectation. Jesus has words that he seeks men to communicate with. Words. May we hear words from his mouth. Words. 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 Words from his mouth. Real time encounters. Real time penetration. Real time reality. This was God's mood yesterday. This is his mood today. When I saw him, he wept. But today he rejoices. Real time, real time. Not about 1986. Real time encounters. Real time encounters.